Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the council, Paul Howard and the council staff, for making the time for NIMS to present this overview of the proposed revisions to the NS1 guidelines, especially annual catch limits today. After a very long wait on your part and even our part, we finally received good news this week, and I think most people already know about it. But the bottom line is the proposed rule, proposed guidance for the ACLs and NS1 guidelines will be published on June 9th, next Monday, and it will have a comment period of 90 days with a comment period ending date of September 7th. Okay, let's just start with National Standard 1 itself, because although I think most of us know it pretty well, I think I've actually heard some people in the background in the last couple of days in the hall say, what is it or what is it all about? NS1 is the conservation and management measures shall prevent overfishing while achieving on a continuing basis the optimum yield from each fishery for the United States fishing industry, and that takes on some added importance or a little bit of a different twist when you have a rebuilding stock. Okay, as far as the 2007 Magnuson-Stevens Act amendments, the most important ones related to ACLs and AMs are related to Section 303A15. It's a new paragraph in the Magnuson-Stevens Act, and it basically talks about annual catch limits and measures to ensure accountability. And it reads, basically, fishery management plan shall establish a mechanism for specifying annual catch limits in the plan, including a multi-year plan, implementing regulations or annual specifications at a level such that overfishing does not occur in the fishery. That's the key phrase. That's the bugaboo there of how do you make that happen as often as possible when the fact is, as long as we have fishing, we occasionally have the risk of overfishing due to scientific uncertainty and management uncertainty. So again, it's have those ACLs in place at a level such that overfishing does not occur in the fishery, including measures to ensure accountability. Next slide. Next slide. Thanks. Oh, go back one. That was the right one after all. I looked down too quickly. ACLs are required for all managed fisheries except species with approximately a one-year life cycle unless subject to overfishing. If they become subject to overfishing, then they have to have an ACL and AM system until they're no longer overfishing. The other exception straight out of the Magnuson Act, the statutory exception, deals with stocks managed under an international agreement to which the U.S. is a party. Okay, now, again, as far as ACLs go and when we have to implement them, I think almost everybody knows by now, but let's say it again, that by 2010, for fisheries subject to overfishing now, we're supposed to have ACLs and AMs in place at the beginning of the fishing year for any of those stocks. And in 2011, we're supposed to have it for all other fisheries. One other thing about ACLs is the Act says in Section 302H6 that the ACL may not exceed a council's S&S committee's fishing level recommendation. And we take that phrase, fishing level recommendation, to mean the acceptable biological catch, the ABC, which is referred to elsewhere in Section 302, where we talk about what the council needs to specify regarding an ACL and what the SSC has to do regarding ABC. We have a whole host of new requirements for the SSC, and a lot of that's going to be covered in more detail in a proposed and final rule for National Standard 2, I believe. Just a few highlights that are closer to the top that relate to ACLs and AMs directly. Each S&S committee shall provide its counsel ongoing scientific advice for fishery management decisions, including recommendations for ABC, preventing overfishing, MSY, and achieving rebuilding targets. And that is from Section 302G1B of the Act. We also have a new provision in the Magnuson Act as a result of the reauthorization that was signed January of last year by President Bush. And this deals with regarding overfishing and overfish, that is. In this case, we're moving to overfish for the moment. And the fact is, Section 304E reads the old way until July 12th of 2009. And if I'm correct, the Blue Book doesn't have the old way of dealing with notification of a council and when does a new plan have to be in place. I think it's about 1 year right now. I think the Blue Book only has the Blue Book for the Magnuson Act, that is, only has the new language in a more obvious way, and it reads something along the lines of effective July 12, 2009, within 2 years of an overfished or approaching overfished stock status notification, the councils or the secretary for Atlantic HMS must prepare and implement management measures to rebuild the affected stocks, and if it's in 2011 or beyond, fishing year-wise, they have to, you have to end overfishing immediately. Okay, as far as NIMS objectives in revising the NS1 guidelines, this was one of the toughest things about putting together the guidelines was how do you construct strong yet flexible guidelines. We want, whenever possible, whenever practical and reasonable, to not affect an FMP or the way a fishery is being managed. But on the other hand, we've got to achieve the objective of ending overfishing and preventing overfishing as best we can. So we want to ensure that mandate for the ACLs and AMs to end and prevent overfishing. But we also want to account as best we can for U.S. fisheries diversity, including biological and ecological factors. Management approaches vary for fisheries. Scientific knowledge varies for various stocks or species. Monitoring capacity varies for different fisheries. And you know all this, but again, these are all factors and issues we had to deal with. Overlap in management jurisdiction is another issue we had to deal with. And when I say we had to deal with it, actually we still have to deal with it. This is just a proposed rule, and we've got a ways to go, and we're still learning. So this is going to be a big, important step, obviously, for us to receive comments on the proposed rule. As far as the resource users go, we have various user groups for a given stock or a fishery. We might have a commercial versus recreational sectors, or we might have gear sectors like trawl versus fixed gear, or a state sector maybe versus a federal sector for certain stocks that have a large amount of the harvest of the stock in state waters. And we have to incorporate new terms in the guidelines because these terms are in the Magnuson Act now, but they're not defined. We need to provide guidance on our best interpretation or idea so far of what is the definition for ACL and what is the definition for ABC, and try best as we can in this opening round to explain their relationship to existing requirements like MSY and OY. Now, we did have a notice and comment last year to try to get initial ideas on how people felt about what were going to be a lot of the key issues for ACLs and how to deal with them in NS1 guidelines. And some of the themes that came up include the ones listed on this slide: improved fisheries data, develop guidelines for OY, but while you do, incorporate ecosystem considerations, provide guidance on the SSC role, allow councils flexibility in developing ACLs and AMs. AMs should provide a short time cycle turnaround when they can. In other words, a preferred method is in-season adjustments to corrective ones. If you have the data within a fishing year to determine when to close a fishery if an ACL is being exceeded or reached, you really should be using that data and should have the in-season management authority. ACLs for rebuilding stocks must ensure that rebuilding actually occurs along with ending overfishing. Another issue that was brought up was protect sectors from each other in terms of trying whenever possible not to let the overage of one affect the ability of the other one to catch its allocation. Ensure ongoing review of management effectiveness, because that's going to be very important in your AMs. And it's going to be important in changing your AMs or changing relationships of a catch limit and a catch target if you start exceeding your ACL a lot or if overfishing occurs. Go back and look at the relationship of ACLs and AMs and see what could be tightened or changed to make exceeding an ACL or having overfishing occur, make it less likely. Themes of our proposals include a revised system of limits and targets. The idea that we need to incorporate both scientific and management uncertainty to reduce the risk of overfishing, and a lot of people like the idea of separating out those two uncertainties and dealing with them separately. Some folks say lump them together. So we're going to be interested in your comments along those lines. Some people think it's better to separate them out and make it more transparent to people as to where did this difference between a overfishing limit and a catch target come from. Was it from scientific uncertainty? Was it from management uncertainty that you've had in the past due to not as good management control of achieving a catch target but not exceeding an overfishing limit? So that's one of the main themes we've been working on. And, again, accountability, meaning accountability measures especially. So an opening round proposal for the reference points has this overall framework that then gets divided down, in a sense, from the overall framework to our recommendation of what you should normally or usually do. The overall framework, though, says that OFL is greater than or equal to ABC. ABC is greater than or equal to ACL. And if you're going to use catch targets in your management scheme, ACL would be greater than ACT. And that normally your overfishing limit, OFL, would correspond closely with MSY. Overfishing limit would be more of a annual kind of value. It would be a catch amount, and it would be the current biomass estimate times the FMSY or the MFMT, the fishing mortality rate level beyond which overfishing is occurring. Go back just for a minute on that one. Let's see if I've skipped anything here. So to account for scientific uncertainty, we're saying that normally we think OFL should be greater than ABC, that you're going to have some scientific uncertainty. Just a reminder that the ACL may not exceed the ABC because the Magnuson Act, we're saying ABC is corresponding to the fishing level recommendation in 302H6, which says the fishing ACL must not exceed the fishing level recommendation. And if we separate out ACL and ACT and have both of those amounts in a management plan, then we account for management uncertainty by controlling the actual catch to a target ACT. And in that case, normally you would recommend that ACL is greater than ACT. Now, there will be instances, we think, where the ACT would equal or be very close to the ACL, and some examples could be an IFQ or an ITQ fishery, which has basically never had their catch target exceeded, or they've never had overfishing. You know, you've got good management control there, and you could have your ACT close to or equal the ACL. And lastly on this slide, I know it's a little confusing at first because there are a lot of parameters here that we're talking about, but bear with us and try to look at it a little bit more today and after today, and call our office or George. He can explain it with the region better if you're having problems with it. But if you don't use an ACT, because it's not absolutely required by the Magnuson Act, then you'd have an OFL, ABC, and ACL, and that's simplified. However, once your ACL is exceeded, the way our thinking runs, the accountability measures are invoked. And if your ACL is actually going to be your catch target, we think you're going to trigger your AMs a lot more often, and that could be problematic. Next slide. Okay, again, looking at management uncertainty the way I was talking earlier, especially if you want to use the ACT as the target there and the ACL as the limit, as one example. It's a little dark there, but what it says on the bottom is management approach 1, 2, and 3, and what it says up on the upper left-hand part of the box is year 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of actual catch amounts. And what we're trying to show there is that for some management approaches, again, like in management approach 1, maybe it's an IFQ or an ITQ fishery, where your catch target for a five-year period might have all revolved around that catch target closely and maybe always fell short of the limit, meaning in this case, in current or past management, overfishing, actually, rather than ACL. But I'm just trying to give you the general idea that catch, limit, and target could be looked at this way to start giving you an idea of what your management control is in the fishery. How much is it? And if you're going to have the two steps with the OFL and ABC compared, and then ACL and ACT, again, it will help with separating out scientific and management uncertainty. But if we back to the figure, if we go with management approach 3, where you're having a lot of uncertainty from year to year about predicting your catch ahead of time compared to the catch target, and you have a lot of variation, especially in the upward motion there, or upward direction to where you have overfishing, it's a good indicator you have a lot of management uncertainty, and it's a good indicator you should start out with a catch target less than your catch limit by a good amount. If you improve your management control over time, then you bring those two closer together. That's the reward for finding out ways to bring the catch target and catch limit back closer together. Next slide. Okay, for applying ACLs for each managed fishery, basically we're starting with that phrase in this Magnuson Act. Section 302H6 requires councils to develop ACLs for each of its managed fisheries. But we're thinking, looking at the FMPs around the country, and you might be aware of it to some extent too, even though you focus or concentrate on New England. There's a lot of variation in inclusiveness of stocks in FMPs, maybe to some extent even here, actually, and around the country. In some FMPs, we only have target stocks of the fishery in the FMP, and in other FMPs, we have a couple of target stocks, and in others, we have target and non-target stocks for greater ecosystem consideration. So how do you deal with ACLs, and how do you deal with all those different stocks? And is there a point where requiring an ACL for certain stocks or species just doesn't make sense? Well, in the proposed rule, at least, we're proposing a distinction between stocks in the fishery and stocks included for ecosystem considerations. And the way it would work, at least here in the proposed stage, is stocks in the fishery would be target and non-target stocks retained for sale or personal use. And it could include an item that might not come up that often, but we want to put it in there for consideration. Other non-target stocks, not retained, but for some reason you have a pretty good indication that overfishing is an issue, meaning maybe they've had overfishing in the past if they were targeted, but I can't think of any examples of real-life stocks of this nature. Or maybe just because of bycatch, this stock, although not retained, seems to be in danger of overfishing. And you'd want to keep it in the stocks in the fishery category, and you'd have to deal with ACLs. Under the ecosystem component species, there could be some other non-target species in stocks that don't fall under the non-target stock designations above in stocks in the fishery. Non-target stocks and species that fall into ecosystem component species would be, for instance, data collection only stocks or species that are almost never encountered in the fishery, but they co-occur with stocks that are in the fishery, and you want to maybe control or protect them a little bit as far as their bycatch in your FMP, and you want to keep an eye on them. Let's see, I think that's it for that one. So here's a diagram that tries to put it in diagrammatic form a little bit as far as what we were talking about with stocks in a fishery. The bigger circle, of course, is the whole thing basically, and three examples in the stocks in the fishery are target stocks, non-target stocks retained for sale or personal use, and a third category, non-target stocks that are not retained, but we believe could become subject to overfishing or be overfished for some of the reasons I mentioned earlier. Ecosystem component species would be separate, but in that ecosystem, basically, where the stocks in the fishery occur, and for whatever reasons, we want to put them in the plan to deal with ecosystem considerations more fully. We want to learn more about those stocks or species. Looking at these two, though, I also want to point out stocks in a fishery and ecosystem component species both could have data poor stocks. So don't think just because a stock is data poor that we can put it in stocks in the fishery. For instance, some stocks in a fishery could be in a stock complex. We don't know enough about them to determine overfishing and overfished, but we know we catch them a lot with one or more indicator stocks that we know a lot about their overfishing and overfished status. I'm not thinking offhand of any stock complexes we manage up here. Maybe you're going to manage skates that way. I'm not sure. But data poor doesn't necessarily get us off the hook for putting those species in the ecosystem component species category. Next slide. Again, with this whole scenario of stocks in a fishery and ecosystem component species, the default way of dealing with this issue, we think, would be that any stocks currently in an FMP would be considered stocks in a fishery, and that if the council chooses to try and change the designation of some of the species or stocks in an FMP, the ecosystem component species, then we would want to deal with that in an FMP amendment, just provide a justification and go forward with that. ACLs would apply, again, to stocks in a fishery, but we don't think they should apply to the ecosystem component species. Next slide. Now we're getting into the ABC control rule and ACT control rule, at least as proposed at this stage with our guidelines. We believe managers should establish a policy in consultation with the SSC to use in the specification of ABC and ACT. in combination. In other words, the bottom line is, again, we want an acceptably low risk that overfishing will occur, but that amount of acceptably low risk of overfishing is not described in the proposed rule in any certain percentage or number. That's one thing you could comment on. But again, might that need to be different at some time or another? I don't know. Maybe it would need to be different for an especially vulnerable stock or species. But at least for the time being, we're leaving that issue open for council flexibility. The ABC control rule basically says how it's worded there, specified approach to setting the ABC for stock as a function of the scientific uncertainty in the estimate of OFL. That's how we're initially proposing that that would work. And if we have an ACT control rule, it would be a specified approach to setting the ACT for each stock such that the risk of exceeding the ACL due to management uncertainty is an acceptably low level. Next. And so looking at the roles in setting ACLs between the SSC and the councils, I think you've gathered from reading the Act yourselves and what I've been saying so far about the proposed rule is that the biggest SSC role would be in the stage of setting the ABC control rule and advising the council on what kind of scientific uncertainty they know of in terms of estimating the biomass for the stock or estimating the MFMT or the lack of knowledge of that scientific uncertainty and how do you deal with that. And then the bigger role for the councils is at the ACT stage or the ACT control rule. But there's no reason why a council could not then they should engage the SSC in advice on how to calculate that management uncertainty if they have questions about it and they think the SSC could be of help. And I think some of our regions have already advised some of the councils that is the case, that you can and should ask the SSC to help you with that second step if you think they can be of assistance. Next. As far as accountability measures go, remember they're invoked when an ACL is exceeded. And we see at least two types of accountability measures worth mentioning and differentiating. The first type, the most important type in terms of preventing overfishing before it happens or even preventing the ACL from being exceeded, are the in-season measures, obviously, I think you know how that would work, but that's our first goal, prevent overfishing rather than try to end it the following year. The second kind of accountability measure is to address an overage of the ACL. And maybe your AM for the following year, if you just exceeded the ACL, would be tightening your management with more trip limit kind of measures in the plan to try to put those in place at an earlier point than you did the previous year or put them in for the first time to try to slow down the fishing at some point. And I think you already have that in some of your fisheries. Now, with a stock that's rebuilding, we believe it's more important to mitigate the biological harm to the stock. So you'd want to look at the overage of the ACL and even more importantly, if the overage went all the way to cause an overfishing. And you'd want some kind of biological basis for some sort of compensation for that overage. Next. A performance standard that we've proposed, this would deal basically with the ACT control rule mostly. And we're putting something in here to try to prevent chronic overfishing. And even before that, because we're being precautionary here, for lack of another word, to prevent ACLs from being exceeded a lot, because you're getting in the danger zone if you exceed your ACL, depending on the fishery. So what we're saying here is the system of ACLs and AM should be reevaluated generally and modified if the ACL is exceeded more than once in 4 years. that's kind of our initial guideposts for most stocks and species. We're saying a higher performance standard could be used if a stock is particularly vulnerable to the effects of overfishing. It could be that if the ACLs exceeded more than once, say in 5 or 6 years, you want to reevaluate your AMs and your ACLs. And again, if you're using ACTs, you want to reevaluate the difference between the ACL and ACT. If you're not using ACTs, you'd want to reevaluate the difference between your ABC and your ACL. Next. Another thing with ACLs is we feel like it should be optional to the councils and the secretary in the case of HMS, Atlantic HMS, to subdivide stocks ACLs into sector ACLs. Now, I'm not going to try to get into the New England Council's use of sectors just yet, and I might need help with George on that one when we get into the questions. But I'm talking in this case about sectors more generally speaking, the way I mentioned them earlier in the talk. But when we have sectors for the commercial versus the rec fishery or the fixed versus the trawl gear, the sum of the sector ACL should not exceed the overall ACL. And if we're going to have sector ACLs and we do have ACTs, then you bump down and you should have a sector ACT. And the bottom line is you should have AMs, accountability measures, for each of the sectors. Now, with state federal fisheries, in some cases this is not a problem, but in some cases we don't have very good cooperation, collaboration, or agreement between states or territories and the councils in terms of how to manage the stock, what the ACL should be, even what overfishing should be, or how closely to control management. So where agreement cannot be reached, the ACL should be specified for the entire stock by the council. And I'm talking about a lot of fisheries where we have a large majority of harvest of that stock, even though it's in a federal FMP, but a large majority of it in state waters. This is where we have some problems around the country with certain fisheries. The ACL should be specified for the entire stock, identify a federal portion of the ACL, and we could apply AMs a couple ways. We could the federal portion of the ACL might be based on recent average catch estimate of that stock in the federal waters compared to the state waters. And then what you do or what you could do is two options is when the overall ACL is reached and the state or territory is not closing their waters, the best we can do is close the EEZ. Or if the federal portion of the ACL is reached, there's, of course, an option to close the EEZ. Next. Okay. Next one. In summary, the Magnuson-Stephen Act requires ACLs and AMs to prevent overfishing. The ACLs should not exceed the fishing level recommendation of the SSCs, and ACLs and AMs are necessary in all managed fisheries with two exceptions, at least from the statutory point of view in the Act. Also, NIMS proposes that ACLs and AMs for all stocks and stock complexes in a fishery are required unless those exceptions apply, but we're also, remember, getting into the ecosystem component species here later, too. Clearly account for both scientific and management uncertainty in the ACL specification process to make it more transparent. AM should prevent ACL overages where possible and always address overages if they occur. Not always necessarily a full compensation in terms of pounds or numbers of fish, but have an AM in place that will make it tougher, already in place in your plan, that will make it tougher for the ACL to be exceeded the following year. And an optional ecosystem component category could allow flexibility in FMPs. It would encourage councils, we hope, to put more stocks or species in an FMP for ecosystem considerations, and it would also discourage or councils from taking them out if they're in there now and they're afraid that every species and stock needs an ACL, even if we think it's one that doesn't need one. I don't know if there's anything on the next slide or not. Again, I wanted to emphasize that this 90-day comment period starts June 9th and ends September 7th. I'm sure there's questions and comments. Sorry we couldn't get you the rule earlier because it really limits what you can come up with in this meeting, but why don't we go to that now? Dave?
Yeah, thank you. This is very enlightening. It's not unexpected or no real surprises here. But one thing that I have been unsure of right from the beginning of this is the scientific and management uncertainty, and you said that you guys were uncertain of it as well. On the page 8, this apparently the acceptable biological catch is set by the SSC. The annual catch limit is set by the Fishery Management Council. And then you say recommend OFL greater than ABC, recommend ACL greater than ACT. And I am assuming that scientific uncertainty is, it says right here, is in the setting of the ABC, between those two, the OFL and the ABC, and that the management uncertainty basically is between the ACL and setting an ACT, if you use one at all. Where I have a problem, yesterday we got really wrapped up here trying to work out how to deal with the recreational fishery. And then I'm looking down at the lower part of page 8, the diagram you've got down there. And in the recreational fishery, we have an enormous uncertainty in the MRFs data. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, the data is worthless, to put it plainly. Now, would that be, and that's something that the council is going to have to apparently take into account. And I don't know how to get a grip on that, because at some point when we have that sector, I'd rather use the term segment, the recreational segment, when we set some sort of catch limits for the recreational segment, would the council then be responsible for subtracting from whatever that ACL for the recreational fisheries is? Would we then be expected to reduce that by the amount of uncertainty that we have in the MRFs data, because that might leave them with one fish for the whole year? I'm not sure how to do that or where it would be done. Is that a scientific uncertainty? Is it a management uncertainty or both or a little of both?
I don't think it would be so much based on the MRFs data. I think it would be based more on a given fishery as to how much you overshot. Say you have 5 or 10 years of a flounder fishery of wreck fishing and you've overshot your harvest limit in that area by 40%, 50%, 20%, 30% or whatever. I think you would look more directly at that to try to give you a starting point for the management uncertainty. But one accountability measure, in other words, the difference between an ACL and an ACT, but one proposed accountability measure we have in this action that I didn't talk about is probably going to be more focused towards or available to the recreational fishery a lot of times than commercial fisheries, and that is we're proposing that you have a running average of, say, 3 or 4 years of what was the ACL and 3 or 4 years of actual catch. And so you wouldn't trigger an accountability measure until the average ACL for that 3 or 4 year period had been exceeded by the actual catch. So we realize the data is very uncertain in the recreational fishery as of now, and that it's an in-season data and monitoring and closure and everything is very difficult other than if you want to make some adjustments based on what data you do have for bag limit or season or whatever. But getting the actual catch data within a fishing year for recreational fishery, the total catch data, or say a month or two after, is so hard to do. So we're proposing that kind of a accountability measure that deals with the recreational fishery, I think, sometimes if the data is very uncertain. Yes.
Well, where that leads us to a problem is that before we even get there, we have to allocate some percentage of the fishery to the recreational sector segment. And now, do we allocate it with that uncertainty intact? Because if we do, then as was pointed out yesterday, and we got wrapped up in the discussion, if we are allocating to the recreational fishery to account for that uncertainty, then that the de facto effect is to take that away from the allocation for the commercial fishery. How do we deal with that?
Well, I don't think you normally would do that ahead of time, but maybe George has some ideas on this. With the, I guess, with the summer flounder fishery, I think you'd still do your 60-40 split, and then you deal with the management uncertainty with the two sectors. And ideally, I think you'd have a catch target that would be lower in the future than it would have been in the past for the recreational fishery because there's a lot of management uncertainty. But, George, have you thought about this in the region much yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this came up right off the bat as a challenge, our recreational fisheries, not just in this region. It's true elsewhere, too. And I know the Southeast has had to deal with this and some of their fisheries. But yeah, I agree with the answer Mark just gave. But to go back to one of your questions, I think the uncertainty in the MRFs data, I would consider that management uncertainty, not science uncertainty. I think the science uncertainty would be things like, do you have a retrospective pattern that you need in your stock assessments that you need to be concerned about? Do you have a stock assessment that everybody acknowledges is not a very robust one? That kind of uncertainty would be what the SSC would look at. Your ability to monitor and the link between your management measures and your results, I think, are the things that come into your management uncertainty. So using the MRFs data or the MRIP data, whatever it will be, which will hopefully be at least somewhat better, that's where you take into account the uncertainty. But I think another point is you don't necessarily have to have your recreational component and your commercial components separated into sectors with separate ACLs. And it may be advantageous to do it, but you're not required to do that. Just so long as your overall ACL, either components or for the whole stock, are set appropriately and you have a response if that ACL has succeeded.
Just one quick, I want to make sure I got this straight now. If we do it that way, then we're rolling the uncertainty. It's certainly easier if we call the MRFs uncertainty management uncertainty. It does make it easier. But if we roll that all in, then that uncertainty then becomes a part of the overall uncertainty, which degrades the certainty of the commercial data. That's my problem here.
Oops, you're correct. And part of what this comes down to is how do you, when you are deciding what sectors or segments of your fishery are going to have ACLs, is who do you want to be accountable? You want all the components of the fishery to be equally accountable? Do you want to have your recreational and your commercial components separately accountable with separate responses if they go over their limits? Because you're supposed to have accountability measures for anything for which you have an ACL. And to me, it comes down to where do you want the accountability to be? Who do you want to have to pay back if that's what you're going to do or readjust their activities if they demonstrate that they're not able to keep with the ACL? Mark, if I get this wrong from your perspective, say so, please.
We could have one overall ACL and then separate that into segments with different AMs. Is that what you're basically saying?
Yes, you could. What I'm saying is if you do have separate ACLs, then you have to have separate AMs.
Rip.
Thank you. I've got a series of questions, but first, isn't it the requirement of the law that we don't exceed the ABC? Isn't that the number that is the problematic one? That's what's determined by the SSC.
I don't know. I think we look at it more as exceeding the OFL.
Okay, well, that's fine, too.
But remember that the ACLs and the AMs, we think, are directly linked in the Act. At least that's the way we're reading it. And I think what you might be asking is, why are we invoking accountability measures at the ACL stage and not at the OFL or ABC stage? Is that what you're...
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, we seem to be now targeting the ACL, which has, I mean, you've already put in some scientific uncertainty to get to your ABC. You're now saying the ACL is below that, but it seems to me the intent of the ACL is so that you never reach the ABC. You had indicated that it's problematic if you trigger your AMs, you know, more than once in 4 years. I look at it entirely a different way and say, you know what? You should be triggering the AMs with a great deal of regularity, because that, in that way, you are, in fact, maximizing the optimum yield out of it, as long as you don't go over the ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have accountability measures that can be utilized in that way to essentially keep you from doing that.
Well, I don't think there's anything to keep you from using accountability measures at those various stages. But again, if you exceed OFL, and that's a catch amount that relates to MFMT, then we believe overfishing's occurring. The reason we have ABC as far as an adjustment is it gets rid of some of the scientific uncertainty. We think of the biomass estimate and the MFMT. But if you have an ABC, ACL, and ACT, then there's nothing to keep you from having ACL equal ABC. But if you have that ACT, generally that should be lower than your ACL, unless you're in a really well-managed or tightly managed fishery where you have a lot of control. That's about the only time the ACT can be close to or equal to the ACL when you have those four together. Does that help?
Well, I guess mine may have been less of questions than comments, and I think a lot of this, at least in my eyes, are certainly open to interpretation at the various council levels, and I think various councils are going to deal with them substantially differently. One area where I got totally lost was in this question of target, non-target, and the ecosystem component. I'm somehow wondering whether that is something close to the question that this council has posed concerning the mixed stock exception, and where that, how that all falls together, because at least what I heard you say somehow says to me that it opens up the possibility that if you're in fisheries where you have, and maybe in fact a bycatch fishery, that you would be able to treat somehow the bycatch differently under this ecosystem component. So I just got quite confused about all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I certainly understand that it's the first time most people are seeing those relationships up on the board and also those figures. Can we go back to, I'm not sure what slide it is, but it does cover the target stocks and ecosystem component stocks. Did you mark that one by any chance? Let's see, it's probably around 18, slide 18.
20.
19, 20.
Yeah.
Let's start with 18. For a mixed stock exception, most of the time, from what I'm aware of in the past, that came into play when, let's say, you had five stocks in a fishery and they were all target stocks, but you were going to allow overfishing at least for a time on one of those target stocks. Because that was going to bring you the best overall benefits to the nation. Now, with this description of non-target stocks in there, under the stocks in the fishery, where we're concerned about the overfishing determination, you wouldn't let that fall down to the EC species. Any stock where you're concerned about overfishing or overfished, whether it's a target stock or not, should still be up in the stocks in the fishery category. So I don't know if that helped you or not there, but we can't, the way we're looking at it right now, we don't want to put a stock or species down in the EC species when we're concerned or know it's overfishing status, even if it's not targeted on.
George?
Yeah, the way I read this is that all of the stocks that are managed under our FMPs and the MIDS too would be stocks in the fishery. The ecosystem component species, I believe this is to apply more to some of the Caribbean fisheries, the Western Pacific fisheries, and some of the West Coast fisheries where they have a list of 100 different stocks that are species that may occasionally be caught in the fishery, but there's no management measures for them. Our FMPs are focused on stocks for which there are fisheries. So I don't think we really have to make this distinction in our region.
Yeah, I would agree with that on a first look. But it's still subject to your review here in the council and closer look as to what you think about that. But it's generally different up here in New England and Mid-Atlantic than, say, South Atlantic. They have a snapper grouper FMP that has, I'm going to guess, 50 to 60 snapper grouper species, and they only manage about 7 or 8 of them, and some of them are almost never even encountered in the fishery and only occasionally sampled, and maybe they're on the outskirts, or on the edge of where they occur the most or whatnot, but there definitely are some FMPs around the country that seem like they would qualify for close consideration of the EC species.
Frank Blount.
Yes, thank you. I have a question that says, and I'm glad to see it in here, where it says you can set your limits either in terms of numbers of fish or in weight of fish. And I find that interesting because especially when non-controversial ones would be summer flounder. You got the recreational limits that the number of fish has been going down, but the weight has been going up. So is it possible that a council could set it in terms of numbers instead of weights, and it would be far easier to manage? Because that's the way I'm taking out of this.
The way we've written it, you could do that, but you certainly, on a council basis, would want to look closely to see if you were frustrating the other goals of the FMP and trying to protect that species or trying to keep it from being overfished I think you got to look at the age structure of that stock or species closely and see how it compares to a few years ago and now, and is it going in the right direction or is it already in the right direction? But I think you'd have to look at some factors closely before you'd go to numbers of fish. But I do think a few recreational fisheries maybe managed that way right now normally, and I don't know that maybe some salmon species on the West Coast, I think they're managed that way. But I don't know all the details about what justifies that kind of management. But still, I think on a case-by-case basis, you'd really have to look at that stock or species closely before you'd go to numbers of fish.
Jim Roll, to that point.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, thank you. We knew some flounder was going to come up in this discussion at some point. I understand Frank's concern, and I think that actually my interpretation, that'd be a management measure, but I don't know there'd be a whole lot more confidence in the way MRSC collects its data if you use pounds versus numbers. So it's certainly something that we're going to have to look. We got to do something different than what we've been doing. I think we all recognize that, and that probably would be driven more by the most advanced or most recent scientific information that suggests all of the suggested minimum fish size shift every bit of the effort or every bit of the landings to the females. So that's all part of the normal procedure that the management regime would use for something like summer flounder. The concern, I understand your concern with this, and the concern I have on some of Flounder, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, is when you discussed earlier the running average for the recreational fishery of a 2-3-4 year period. How, in the case of some of Flounder, when we got a 2013 deadline, would you be able to incorporate that approach? That's one question, if it's okay to ask it now, Mr. Chairman. I'm very concerned with and wondering if there's any possibility of that. That's for question one.
Even though we would have this proposed measure set up based on a running year average, you would still look at it every year. Every year you'd have this 3 or 4 year average, except in year one or two, for instance. And there's something in the rule regarding that, but I can't remember how it goes in terms of you can't ignore those first years of a plan until you get to that 3 year period or that 4 year period. And I don't recall how we've written it in the rule, but we have something in there to cover that as well. And I think that gets to your question about we're not going to allow procrastinating comparing actual catch to ACL by letting a 3 or 4 year average govern how you're going to manage. In other words, I think it has something to do with backtracking catches from the first couple years, but I don't remember how the ACL matches up. So I'll try to look in the rule and see if I can find that measure. Does that sort of address what we're getting at?
Yeah, Mayor, Mr. Chairman, that's the question I think we all need answered. It may not pertain to this council at this time, but you know the battle we've been in with Selma Flounder, and I think everybody around the table is familiar with it. The uncertainty probably is resulting more from the MRFs data than anything else as far as the industry goes. But then the retrospective analysis kicks in, right, and that's driving the train here on Selma Flounder. And I have a lot of problems with the retrospective analysis. It's just a cover-your-ass option. That's all it is. I mean, you look back and see what went wrong and try to, if that's the case, retrospective, in my opinion, should be both. Look at the highs, look at the lows. But if you continually go in one way, then maybe everything needs to be redesigned so that retrospective is not driving it. But the question that I would have for you on this new information, which has been presented when I believe you made this presentation in front of the council, both councils earlier, which there's some public comment related to protecting one sector from the other. Has there been a determination if, in fact, and we'll use Selma Flounder, the issue with Selma Flounder is one component of the fishery is has had the ability to overfish with no payback provision, while the other component has been held to an accountability measure, an annual catch limit with a payback provision. That's Selma Flounder. One side is a target, one side is a hard quota. One side has a payback provision, the other does not. Is it possible that in a fishery, well, this one is going to be not rebuilt or rebuilding still occurring. So can the management objectives stay in the same? Can we, in fact, incorporate a payback provision at some level on both sectors? I would hate that that's not the right word. Both components of the fishery. Is that a possibility? Second question, or to follow up on that, I can't follow up on that with the second question because Selma Flounder is the example I'm using, and we're not there yet. But another question to come. What kind of guidance can you give us on that? Accountability measures for both segments, where one does not negatively affect they're protected from each other, in other words, sir.
I think, again, you have to have, to the extent you can, equally strong accountability measures for both sectors. So, for instance, for something like the summer flounder fishery, if you've exceeded your quota or your harvest limit 5 out of the last 6 years and the average has been 40 or 50% of exceeding the harvest limit, then the way we deal with it, we're proposing to deal with it in this rule, is to get to the point where you have, say, an ACT that's a lot less than your ACL than it would be for the commercial fishery. The commercial fishery, you have much better management control. And if you're not going to use ACT, then it would have to be your ABC compared to your ACL, in my mind, and you would have to have a bigger difference between the ABC and ACL to average out, at least, if no other method, how much you've been exceeding that harvest limit the past 4, 5, 8, 10 years, whatever the council chooses, you know, whatever it thinks is a good database. I'm not sure that they do that now in the summer flounder fishery, do they? Do they go ahead and look at the harvest limit in that vein and try to adjust the harvest limit to that extent?
Not per se. There is a feedback through the recreational specification setting based on how effective their management measures were the preceding year in meeting the mortality objectives from that year, and then they make adjustments for the next year. So there's a feedback loop. But I think the answer to Jimmy's question is yes, you can have a payback of some sort for your individual sectors if that's the way you set it up.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chairman, and actually it could apply to some of flounder. Has the agency, and we all recognize that the challenge to Mid-Atlantic Council is going to be getting better data. There's some confidence in MRFs. I don't know where it is right now, but somebody's got to have some. Most people don't. So there's going to have to be a measure, a mechanism to determine what the landings really are, and that's going to be the bigger challenge. But with that aside, has the agency made the determination, just say you overfished, one of those components overfished 10%, but the stock was continually rebuilding, trajectory was up. Is the paybacks going to be required if the trajectory of the stock is increasing? We've had this discussion before. But if you get into where you want to go and you're not quite as quickly as you'd like to be, is a payback still going to be required?
I don't think we have anything in the proposed guidelines that address that issue. And I don't know if that's something, in the absence of being in the guidelines, that the councils themselves would decide on. But I don't have any good answer for that one right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
We've got about 10 more minutes. I had Terry, then Jim Salisbury, then Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thanks. Yesterday we had quite a lengthy discussion on ACLs and state waters and federal fisheries. And on your slide towards the end, you refer to a state-federal collaboration to establish ACLs and AMs. Apart from the council's process, are you envisioning anything different or specific and can provide us any guidance to that thought?
I don't think you have this problem up here nearly as much as the Caribbean Council has it. I think you have pretty good collaboration, and you have, I mean, I know you've had exceptions where the ASMFC and the federal FMP don't match up and it creates problems, but usually they seem to get resolved, maybe the hard way, but they do. But I believe one of the biggest reasons we have this provision in here this way is that the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico have not come on board very well in the past with the federal FMP in a lot of cases. And so people ask us, well, what do we do when we have a large majority of harvest in state waters or territorial waters and we have very little useful collaboration going on or cooperation to the point where they agree with our catch limit or take action in a timely way when we tell them we think we ought to take it, even though they are very data poor down there. And in those cases, our advice is the best you can do is have a stock ACL, but of course you would have that up here too anyway, but have a federal and state sector ACL and then have AMs that deal with the federal portion or just deal with the overall stock. And I gave those two examples of you could close the EEZ if you reach the federal sector ACL, or you could close the EEZ if you think you're reaching the overall stock amount. But maybe a little indirect compared to what you were asking, but I don't think up here that provision is going to come into play very much. I don't see it being a factor. But again, George might have some ideas on that because certainly he's more familiar with the fisheries up here. And did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think there's two ways to do it. One is to create two sectors with two ACLs, or the second model is what we're talking about here, which is to take it off the top, so to speak. You account for it in your mortality. It comes out of your ABC, but then you only set the ACL for the portion that you actually manage, have accountability measures for that portion, but take into account when you're going through your process and your stock assessments, the entire stock. So I think what you're doing, in my mind, is consistent with this. It's one way to do it.
I was feeling very comfortable with our discussion yesterday. I was just a little bit alarmed thinking we might have something new coming our way.
Chris Kellogg.
Hi, Mark, I have two questions. First, under stocks, it says that ACLs will apply to stocks in the fishery. And stocks in the fishery include target stocks and non-target stocks that are retained for sale or personal use. Now, for example, in groundfish, we have wolffish and cusk. In your presentation, you implied that the council would determine what the non-target stocks are, but the way the rule reads, it doesn't give the council that discretion. The way I read the rule is we would have to set ACLs for wolffish and cusk, the way it's written. So does the council, will the council have any discretion on determining non-target stocks?
I think the way the rule is written, unless the wolffish or cusk or some of those species are, in your mind, rarely encountered, and again, we haven't defined what that really means, you probably are going to have to develop some kind of an ACL for them. It sounds like they're often retained for
personal
use.
Maybe we want to figure that into the timeline when we talk about that. Anyway, I have another question as well, and I'll let the council come back to that if they have further questions about that. You say that ABC should be less than OY to account for scientific uncertainty, generally speaking, the guidelines say that, and that the ACT should be less than the ABC generally to account for management uncertainty. And then we also, the guidelines also say that the ABC should generally be greater than the ACL. Well, if we've already accounted for management uncertainty and scientific uncertainty, I'm not sure what additional uncertainty there is to require the ABC to say the ABC should be higher than the ACL.
Right. Chris, I think what I said earlier, and if I didn't, sorry about that, but what I meant to say was that if we use the OFL and ABC as the ABC control rule, and then we have an ACL and an ACT for an ACT control rule, the first one dealing with scientific uncertainty, the second with management uncertainty, then I can see where a council would often set ABC and ACL the same. Because why would you have a difference between those as well?
Yeah, that's why.
Right.
Yeah, that was my question.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry I keep bringing George back into this, George, but I was wondering what you thought about the question about the real occasional catch of wolffish or cusk or something like that.
I don't really know. We'd have to think about that. I don't have an answer for that one.
All right, we got about 5 minutes left. Jim Salisbury.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had the same questions that Chris had, but I guess I'd like to focus on them a little differently. On your slide 21, you have ACLs would only apply to stocks in the fishery, and ACLs would not apply to ecosystem component species. And it was said, I think George said, that in New England we don't have what would be called the ecosystem component species, but it seems as though some of our species really sort of are that. I mean, whether we call them that or not, ocean pout being one, or some of the managed species are really sort of thrown in there in a sense. So But on your slide on page 9, number 18, you say all stocks in the FMP will be considered in the fishery unless otherwise specified through rulemaking. So it seems to me that you said in our case, ocean pout and anything else that happens to be in that mix, we have to have ACLs for. And likewise, even though here we may not have precisely an ecosystem component, the problem in the Caribbean would be the same. If they have an ecosystem component in their FMP, then it's a species in the fishery, so they have to have ACLs for them. It seems sort of illogical what you've said, that if it's an ecosystem component, they don't have to have an ACL, but if it's in their FMP, they do. Could you either
We don't have it in the rule, but our thinking, too, generally, is that for stocks in a fishery, generally, they're going to contribute to OY in the fishery, whether it be OY for that species or the way some councils manage OY for the whole fishery, the Bering Sea groundfish fishery, the Gulf of Alaska groundfish fishery. So I don't know whether we need to rethink how that will fold in with stocks in the fishery or not, but it is a dicey area, and we wanted to create some flexibility for the councils to deal with stocks in the fishery versus ecosystem component species, and I don't think we have this by any means perfectly figured out, but this is our opening proposal for how to deal with the sticky issue of stocks that are almost never encountered in the fishery, but we know co-occur on occasion. How in the world would you ever base an ACL on, for that stock or species? Is the bottom line or end result going to be that people are going to get rid of those species, get them out of the FMP in part, not to deal with ACLs? So I don't think I have a real good answer to your question, and I think this was a special area in the proposed rule that we're interested in the public's comments and certainly the council's comments of, do you like the general concept? If so, yes. If not, why not? Do you like it, but you don't like how we've laid it out? Does it make sense for achieving the goals of the Magnuson Act for preventing overfishing and rebuilding overfished stocks when they're contributing to OY of the fishery? Does it also get us to where we want to go in terms of ecosystem protection that's mentioned in the Magnuson-Stevens Act in various cases? So I don't think I have a perfect answer by any means for that one. But, George, you have anything on that one?
No, I think that's right. I agree with your answer.
I appreciate your statement that this is sort of in here to try to have created some flexibility for the councils to react. But I guess my reaction to it was that it could have the opposite effect. It could have the effect of it's kind of a catch-22. No matter what you do, you're in the fishery, and no matter how minimal it is, it might be through a lawsuit or something else, you've failed in your duty. So that's more in the way of a comment. I think we should be careful to look at it from both perspectives. I think the need for flexibility is important, and I'd encourage it, but flexibility works two ways. So, thank you.
I agree.
Okay, we have 30 seconds left. Dr. Pierce, I know you can do it. 30 seconds. As you said, the division has extensive comments. Now we have the proposed rule. I'm anticipating that the division will abridge or amend its comments.
Down to 10 seconds.
Down to 5 seconds.
Is the mixed stock exception still in the guidance? And if it is still in the guidance, have there been any modifications to it?
The mixed stock exception is still in the guidance in the proposed rule, and it appears right near the end of the proposed rule. And if you look at your copy of the proposed rule, the biggest change in the proposal is we've raised the bar. It used to be that one of the conditions for the mixed stock exception was that you couldn't keep overfishing any stock or species to the point where it became ESA listed. Now we have it in there as a proposal that you cannot use an overfished species as your stocker species where you can keep overfishing it, or saying it another way, you cannot keep it in as the mixed stock exception when it reaches overfished. So that is a pretty big difference.
All right. Sounds like the straitjacket is there. Thank you.
Okay. The reason I'm pushing us along is we do have a scheduled luncheon. I guess it's you go up the stairs here, take a left, go to the Connecticut Rhode Island Room, and it's $20 per person. And it's a goodbye lunch for Tom Hill and Jim Salisbury. So.
Is it 20 each? Or-